Wow. And just think what they could have done with more than 5 minutes' notice.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, we have truly come to church today to praise. Still got goosebumps. Okay, so you might not know it to look at me, but I'm not a camper. Done it. My version of camping is similar to my husband's. In fact, probably the only person in this church who's less of a camper than me is my husband. Whenever he's asked if he wants to go camping, he says, "Where's the Holiday Inn?" So we're not really big campers, and so it was probably rather surprising to a few of you who know me to find me on a Pathfinder campout 3 weeks ago on my birthday in the cold and the wind and the rain. But there I was. And I thought, this is going to be the worst weekend of my life. My 42nd birthday is going to be memorable because I'm going to be found as a frozen popsicle. But I got to camp, and I thought, okay, I'm going to make the best of this. Let's get through this, and I'm going to survive. We're going to be okay. And I kept thinking, you know, boy, this would be a really great camp out if it weren't for the rain. And pretty soon, the kids proved me wrong. I mean, I thought if anybody would have been grumpy and grouchy and tired, and it would have been the kids. But they were awesome. Talk about troopers. They were out there doing ropes courses and stilt walking and trust walks and all those other cool stuff in the pouring rain. And, well, no, you didn't do any marching, I don't think. Oh, that's right. You did some marching in the rain, too. But what was really awesome is that God made a blessing out of that rain. Because even in the midst of it, he would do little things for us during that camp out. Like every night, it never failed. The minute it was time to start the worship program in the giant open field with soggy chairs and the whole bit, he would stop the rain just long enough for worship. And then it'd start pouring again. And every night, we would have this amazing moment where we could look up and see the sky through the clouds. It was like God would just say, okay, open, close, open. It's like clap on, clap off. You know, God was doing that just for us. And then what was even better is, and of course, okay, I learned to live with the rain, but I didn't think I would actually be grateful for the rain. But then it came time for us to have our inspection. And I don't know about you, if any of you have ever been in Pathfinders or in Adventurers, you remember those stupid little sash things, those little slides. Inevitably, somebody loses their slide. Those things were built, or they were made to torture Pathfinder leaders, were they not, Steve? That is their only purpose in life, is to torture Pathfinder and Adventurer leaders, because they're going to get lost no matter what you do. So we had half our club had missing shoes, missing socks, missing slides, missing uniform. Yeah, we had one kid missing the entire uniform. So thankfully, one of our staff said, "I've got one." And so we wrapped a belt around him like 6 times to hold it on. But what was so awesome was that at first I was praying for rain, or I was praying not to rain so we could not have to be standing out there in our uniforms by our tents waiting for our inspection, sir. And what was awesome, though, is that God knew in his infinite wisdom better than I did that we needed the rain, because he caused the rain to start falling right as we were getting inspected. And so the guy that was inspecting us was too busy worrying about getting soaked himself, so he's like, "It's good." Didn't pay attention to half the stuff we were missing. Didn't know any of it. So God actually even made the rain a blessing. It was a blessing in disguise. Well, that's what I'm here to talk about today. We're going to talk about some of those blessings in disguise, things that we may not recognize as a blessing now, a mercy now, but someday we'll understand. Someday we might understand. I was reading Worship to My Daughter one night, and there was a story in there of a young man who, he had this compulsion in his heart. He had this voice in his head that said, go to church today, go to church today, go to church today. And so he did. He went to church that day, and he gave his heart to the Lord that day at the end of the sermon. And he was flying high. He was so excited in the Lord. He was going to do all kinds of things for the Lord. And he worked as a construction worker, and he also did landscaping. And the next day, he was so excited. He was ready to start his life for the Lord, and he was up in a ladder in his backyard cutting some leaves off of a tree. And he fell off the ladder and landed just on his neck at the right angle to break his neck and left him a quadriplegic. The day after he gave his heart to the Lord and his life to the Lord, he became a quadriplegic. And he went through surgery after surgery. And they lost him several times on the operating table. But when he finally came out of it and he was finally able to start to learn to communicate again, he couldn't even communicate by talking anymore. He had to learn to use eye blinks. And he had to use a device called a Dynavox that there's a Visimax or a special eye gaze little camera that looks at his eyes, and he would move his eyes up to capture a letter and then blink to type that letter. And when they asked him if he was bitter with the Lord, here he had done what the Lord had asked him to do. He had answered the call to God in his life, and the next day God cursed him by making him a paraplegic. Or a quadriplegic, I'm sorry. He was a quadriplegic. They asked him if he was bitter at all about it. And he said, of course not. He said, just think how much worse it would have been if I had done it the day before. Because at least I got to walk up that aisle to give my heart to Jesus. Amen. That is a blessing in disguise. He said, you know, you don't understand. It's my faith that has gotten me this far. And even though it's this little, it's brand new. It's baby faith. It's gotten me this far. Another story I read was about this young lady who had to miss prom because she kept having these terrible nosebleeds, just awful nosebleeds, couldn't get her nose to stop bleeding, and she didn't want to go to prom, you know, with toilet paper stuffed up her nose and everything. It really looked pretty in a prom dress, you know, and she was just chronic nosebleeds. Well, they finally get her into the doctor, and the doctors are trying to figure out what's wrong with her, and they can't figure it out. And so the doctor said, well, let's just run a full panel. Let's just run a blood work. Let's just figure out what's going on here. And when they did, they noticed that something was a little off with her kidneys. Something in her blood work indicated that her kidneys weren't functioning quite right. And so they decided to do an ultrasound of the kidneys to see what was going on, or a CT, I think it may have been, of the kidneys. But what was interesting was is that when they did it, they found that she was dying of a rare form of kidney disease, and she was in stage 4 cancer, kidney cancer. And so they said, we've got to get these kidneys out. You are now on the Unisys list. You must have a kidney transplant within the next 48 hours or you will die. This is how close she was to death. And her parents, of course, immediately said, well, test us. We're happy to do this for her. We will give her our kidneys. You can live with one kidney. So they were going to each donate one kidney to give this girl their kidneys. And so they got tested. And what was really weird was they were in the same stage 4 cancer. Within 48 hours, the entire family would have been dead. And no one knew it. They had no symptoms. There were no signs that they were that sick. And so family members were tested, and they found kidneys for all three of them. Those are blessings in disguise. A simple nosebleed is a blessing in disguise. Sometimes we can't see through the pain. Sometimes we can't see through our disappointments to see the blessing, but it's there. I hope you brought your Bibles today, because the Bible has a lot to say about trials and tribulations. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, because this is not worship sit, this is not where we come and sit and be preached to. This is time when we worship participate, all right? This is time to worship our God. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put out a verse, and I'm going to ask whoever gets it first, stand up and read that verse in a nice loud voice for us. So somebody look up for me 1 Peter 5:10 and stand up and read that to us. Or sit if you can, if you can't stand. 1 Peter 5:10. All right, go for it.
But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you.
Amen. After you've suffered a while, he will strengthen you. All right, somebody else. James 1:12. I'm known for my sword drills. This is fun. All right, go for it. Amen. If we withstand, we will receive the crown of life. All right, somebody else, give me Romans 12:12.
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer.
Amen. Okay, hold on. Patient in rejoicing in hope? Rejoicing in tribulation? Is that even possible? Amen. Through Christ it is. All right. 1 Corinthians 10:13.
No temptation has overtaken you, but such as common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, will provide you a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure.
Amen. Oh, this verse. I have claimed this verse. I have lived this verse. There is no temptation that has overtaken you that is not common to man, but God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able. I have known many times in my life that God is, he's my just-in-time God. He's not early. He's not late. He's there just in time. There have been many times in my life where I have thought, this is it, I'm done, I have no strength left, I have nothing left to give. And at that moment of weakness, when I was down on my knees with nothing left, he was there with a verse or a word or a hug from a friend. He was there, and he provided a way. You know, even in things that you wouldn't think would be all that important, yet God shows up in those little things. You know, there was a day when I was running late at work, and I didn't think I was going to be able to get my work done in time to pick up my daughter, and I had 15 minutes left to treat a patient and to get my notes in, and it wasn't really going to be a good session because I was going to be typing the whole time I'm trying to treat the patient. It's like, okay, say five, okay, tap, 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 tap. Okay, say four, okay, tap, 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 tap. Okay, stick out your tongue six times, okay, tap, tap, tap. It was going to be the most awful speech therapy ever. And I was tempted to just go ahead and do that and to have that terrible session and to give less than my best. And yet, at that very moment, I get a text, which I'm not even supposed to have my phone at work, but it was right in front of me, and I got a text from my mother-in-law saying, hey, I'm going to be at the school. You want me to pick Jenna up? Oh, praise you, yes. You know, even in the little things, he's just in time. All right, what about John 16:33? Somebody get me that one.
But I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble.
Amen. And she did it from memory. Go, girl. Yes. Oh, and that's one we should know by heart, isn't it? Because the fact of the matter is that he told us we're going to have trouble in this world. Those people who preach prosperity, that if you're a true Christian, you won't ever suffer, they haven't read their Bible. Because Jesus says, if they persecuted me, how much more so will they persecute you? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Amen. All right, now somebody look up Exodus 14:14. This is mine.
The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace.
That's the one. When I was little, it was tempting to talk back to my stepdad. It was tempting to fight back. I even learned how to do karate so that I could defend myself against my attacker, who happened to be my own stepfather. And yet, God promised me in this verse, he would protect me. I didn't have to say a word. When my stepfather held a gun to my head and pulled the trigger, God did not let that bullet go through the barrel. He protected me. When my stepfather threw me against a wall, instead of hitting the door that I was heading for, somehow a force beyond my own moved me, and I landed on the bed beside the wall instead of hitting it. That's my God. He is my protector. He is my fighter. All right, somebody else, look up Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Amen. You know, we don't have to be afraid of anything. There is nothing that we can go through that he hasn't already been through, and worse, and that he hasn't already overcome. We were talking about this in Sabbath school today. We were talking about, you know, Ellen White says that in the time at the end, you know, there will be some who will wear their ascension robes, singing praises to God as they're being buried alive for their faith. If you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, some of those people sang praises to God while they were being burned alive. And they had no fear for the fire. They had no fear for the storm. They had no fear of death itself, because God will be there through it all. God will give us perfect peace in the midst of that trial. Some trials are meant to strengthen us. They're meant to give us that peace. Some trials are meant to encourage us. They're meant to give us hope. Some trials are meant to bring us back, to give us a boundary, to help us understand God's blessings in our life. I often tell stories on my sweet little Jenna, and today's no exception. When she was little, she's giving me the. When she was little, we had a problem with local dogs coming in and messing up our little garden that we had created. And so Daddy decided to put an electric fence around the garden to keep the doggies out. And we gave our little Jenna the instruction, don't touch the electric fence. It will shock you. It will hurt. And so we go inside, and she's playing outside. And the next thing I know, the doorbell's ringing, ding, 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 ding. And I open the door, and this is what I see. And I'm saying, Jenna, did you touch the electric fence? Did it hurt? Are you going to do it again? Come on in. And you know, that's really adorable and everything, but how many times in my life has God put a hedge of protection around me, an electric fence around me, and I've still touched it? How many times do we touch the hot stove? Ow, it's still hot. Ow, it's still hot. How many times does it take us to realize sometimes that God is giving us that pain for a reason? In the medical profession, Michelle, pain is a good thing, right? Think about it, and in running, pain tells you when to stop. Okay, in our lives, sometimes trials and tribulations are a good thing because they tell us that it's time to stop. I knew a young man whose life was quickly hurtling out of control, and he was about to end his own life by his own stupidity, by the things that he was choosing to do, the fast living he was having, the drugs he was taking, everything he was doing. And one night, he became so violently ill that he almost died. And as his stomach was being pumped in the emergency room, he finally, ding, got the light. And said, maybe this is God trying to tell me I need to turn my life around. Some people don't listen to that light sometimes. Some people take one time too many. Sometimes we play with the fire to see how close we can get and ignore the pain that God allows into our lives. Sometimes we forget that trial is there for a reason. And it's there to protect us and to teach us his will. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 8 tells us, brethren, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. And let patience have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You know, the fact of the matter is that we sometimes are like sheep. Sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. We will eat what makes us sick. We will go where we should not go. And we will do what we should not do. We will get ourselves turned completely upside down with our little legs hanging up in the air, going, nah, God, help me now. You know? And sometimes you have to wonder what God's face is sometimes when we go to him and ask him for blessings for things that we've completely messed up. You know, it's like, oh, dear God, please don't let me get in trouble for this. Have you ever done that, kids? Yeah, I did something really stupid. Please don't look. And God's just got to look at it, and he's just going to go, oh, how many times do I have to tell you? One more time. Yeah, thankfully, God is infinitely more patient than we are. And so even when we're dumb enough, like in Psalm 23:4, and we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, we can fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff will comfort us. When we cry out to him in our fear, he will be there. He will guide us. We don't need to be worried about the present time and the suffering that we have, because we know that God is in it, and through it, he will make us more perfect and complete. You know, sometimes our pain and our suffering has no answer on this earth. There is no earthly purpose that we can see for some of the things that we must suffer through. I think of the shooting that happened in Oregon on that college campus. You know, I read something, and we talked about it in the youth class the other week, that Someone said that the bravest person in America was the second person to stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christian in Oregon. I don't know if you know the story. A gunman walked into a college classroom and said, stand up if you're a Christian. And the first person did, and they shot him dead. And he said, are you a Christian? To the second person. And she stood up and said, yes. Sometimes in this life, in this world of sin and sorrow and sadness, we will suffer for no reason at all. Just simply because evil exists. But even in those times, through no fault of our own, when we suffer, God has a blessing in store waiting for us. Even if we won't see it on this side of eternity, we will know it in the next. We will know his reward in the next when we receive that crown of life. It says, count it all joys, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. In James 1, 2. Because we know in Philippians 4, 13 that we can do some things, all things through Christ who strengthens us. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, according to Romans 8, 28. We know that we have nothing that has happened to us that God cannot overcome. And so we have nothing to be afraid of. But sometimes we fear the thing that might help us the most. We fear the trials. Sometimes we're afraid to go through the storm. And God says, but you're going to be so much better on the other side. If you'll just trust me, I'll give you my mercies in disguise.